Now, last week, I gave you guys some homework. Did anybody do their homework? Does anybody remember what their homework was? Oh, they don't even know what the homework was. My goodness.
We have multiple homeworks.
Now, last week, I was talking about the homework that I wanted you to do was to go home and really see the vision of where you're going. Remember, we're working in this series, Change Your Life. And to change our life, we've covered a few things. On week one, I talked about that we have to have a desire. We have to know that we want to change. We have to have the desire to change. We want to know that we want to do something different in our life. We want to get somewhere else, and we're not happy with where we are, so we need to change it. So we have to have that desire. And then in week two, which was last week, I talked about seeing it. You need to have a destination. You need to know where you're going. There's no point in doing a lot of stuff if you have no idea where you're going, because you're just going to be randomly throwing out doing whatever when you're not really seeing where you need to go. So we talked about last week seeing it, and I gave you some homework. I said, hey, go home. See where God is taking you. Because I said, I don't want you just to see with your own eyes, but I want you to see through the eyes of God. He created you with a purpose. He created you with a plan. And he gave you a destiny. He gave you a destination. So there's somewhere you're going in life. And I said, ask God to help you to see that and get a real clear understanding of where am I going? Where's my life going? What am I doing? Now that you all did your homework... Now we can go on to part three of change your life. We're still changing our life here. We want to change our life, and we determined on week one that everybody wants to change their life. Part three is action. Now that we know where we're going, now we can do something. Because last week I said, don't just do anything, because you can just throw out a lot of energy. But now that you know where you're going, now that you know the destination, now you know what you want to accomplish, you need to have action.
Amen.
You need to put it into action, because if you don't do anything, nothing will happen. If you just sit on the sofa and do nothing, nothing will happen. Now, that's a big revelation for some of you. You're having an aha moment right now. You're going, oh my God, you really? I never knew that. And yet, it's very obvious. It's obvious that if you don't do anything, nothing will happen. And yet, there are people who do nothing and wonder why nothing's happening. And then the second thing we talked about is that we want to do something different. We need to be doing something different than what we were doing before. So now, based on where you're going now, you can begin to create a strategy. You can begin to create a plan with God of things you need to do. And you might develop a routine of things you need to do every day that are leading only to where God is leading you, to the vision of what you saw. You did your homework last week. You saw it. You saw where you were going. And now every action that you are doing should be leading to that same point. Don't get distracted and be doing something going the other way. No, if you're driving a car and it's heading for a tree, if you don't do anything, what's going to happen? You're going to hit the tree, right? I mean, this is obvious stuff here, but some people need to break it down for you so you get it, you know. So if you're driving towards a tree and you don't want to hit the tree, you got to do something. But I don't want you just to do anything. If you know you need to go to the right, why would you be steering to the left? You would steer to the right of this tree. If you know God said, I'm going right. God said, that's where the dream is. That's where the vision is. That's where the prosperity is. That's where the health is, to the right. Then, man, I'm going to steer my car away from the tree to the right. I'm going to be going in the direction where God is leading me. And I'm always going to be going in that direction. That means it doesn't matter whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I'm always going to the right. I'm always following the vision that God has given me. I'm not going to be wasting time or energy doing something that's leading me in a different direction. I'm not going to be wasting time on that. And I'm going to be eliminating every habit and every thought and every emotion and every reaction, anything that's going to be leading me somewhere else other than where God has shown me to go. I'm going to eliminate that out of my life. I don't need it. I don't need to have it in there, and I can get rid of it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And God has provided the way for you to get rid of it. So once you know where you're going, now you can begin to act. Every action that is not in alignment with where you're going, use God, help God, ask God, help me get rid of that. I'm releasing it. I'm removing it. I don't need it. Don't waste energy. You don't have to be running around. You just have to be focused. Where am I going? What do I need to do? So based on the vision of what God has shown you, what you're going to accomplish, now you know, you start to understand what actions I need to take. And you can create a plan for your life, a strategy of how to do it, what to do, and you can begin to walk in that way all the time. Now, if we read here, we're talking about this before, this is Genesis chapter 3, and this is God, and he's speaking to Abraham. And he says, "And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." He's saying walk. He's saying take action. Get up off the sofa and do it. He's not just saying do anything, do something. He's not saying do something, do anything. No, he first says, remember the vision I gave you, Abraham? Remember what I said? I'm going to make your descendants like the dust of the earth. Man, I'm going to increase them and multiply them, and I'm going to give you this land. Remember that? So he re-energizes the vision. Where are we going? Abraham now sees it, and then God says, now act. Now get up and walk. And he's saying, walk in that land that I'm giving you. I'm giving it to you. Now take action on that. So once we see the vision, now we can begin to do what it is we need to do to fulfill and reach that. Now we can take action. Walk. He doesn't say sit. You don't see him say that a lot. Hey, sit down. Kick up. Put your heels up. Relax. He doesn't say that. But often God is talking about walk. Walk the path. Walk with me. Walk in love. Right? He's always. Why is he saying that? Because he wants us to be in action. Love is not passive. We can't sit back and do nothing. We have to be in action. If we want to change our life, we have to be in action. Action moving us toward what God has shown us. God showed Abraham, and then he put him into action. He didn't put him into action and then just say, just do something. Abraham would have been walking in a circle. Well, I got to do something. What am I doing? Well, I don't know. Well, at least I'm walking. Woohoo! Right? Hey, I'm getting dizzy. But the whole point is, he shows him, you're going over there. And then he says, walk. Take action on it now. So God's going to show you who you are, what you're capable of, what your life can be. He's going to reveal it to you and show you, and you're going to say, wow, that could be my life. What do I do now, God? Walk. Take action. Move. Start moving towards that. Start moving towards what it is you want. Start walking with God. And you're walking with him. You're not walking on your own. You're walking with God. He's walking with you. You're walking together. You're in action. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So you're in action with that. And so we need to take action. Because if we don't do anything, nothing will change. If we keep doing the same thing we were doing before God showed us where we were going, we're not going to end up where God wants us to go. We're going to end up where we always end up, right? Because we're still doing the same thing. So we have to take the actions that align with where God is leading us. If he's leading us to the right, we're going to steer away from the tree towards the right. Everything we do is going to be moving us to the right because that's where God is taking us. And that's where he wants us to be. Now, we also have to speak. Speak is an action. Speaking. We talked about speaking words of life earlier today. That's an action. So when you're speaking, you need to be also speaking about where God is taking you. I bet Abraham told everybody he knew or anybody that would listen about what God had told him and where God was leading him. I bet Abraham was saying, oh man, God has taken me somewhere. God's taken me to this land and he's going to give me this land and he's going to bless me and I'm going to have descendants. See the dust here on the ground? Look at all this dust down here. Guess what? I'm going to have more descendants than all of this dust. That's what God said. That's where God's taken me. And so he was speaking words of faith. He didn't see the land. He didn't have a, they didn't do an aerial view of it all over an airplane, bring it back and say, hey, look, here's the land. How's it look? But he saw, God showed it to him. God showed him in the vision and told him. And now he's telling people. So he's already speaking about it. He's acting in faith. And remember, we want everything to be leading us to where God showed us. So he is speaking exactly where he wants to go. He's not speaking about where he doesn't want to go. He's not saying, oh, look at my father's house over here. I lived in my father's house over here for like 75 years. Remember that? See that roof over there? I redid that roof. Oh, check out the back garden. I used to garden out there all the time for my father. He's not looking that way. He's looking this way. Why? Because this is where he's going. And he's not speaking about his father's house. He's speaking about where God has taken him. So his actions of the words that are coming out of his mouth are matching and relating to where he's going. So if you're going somewhere in life, if God is showing you, don't get caught up wasting your words and wasting your energy and wasting your time on something that's not leading you to where God wants you to be. Don't waste your time with that. Get rid of that. Ask Jesus to take it. Take that off of my hands. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to speak about it. I don't need to work on it. No, I don't. I need to work on where God is taking me. That's the action. That's where I need to put my energy. Some people get really tired and they feel like they're doing too much. They feel like they're working, oh, they're overworked, they're exhausted, oh, they can barely lift. How am I going to be able to do everything that I'm doing? How will I be able to get all this done? I'm so busy, and now God is asking me to do something else. Quite often, a lot of what they're doing has nothing to do with where God is taking them. And if you start to eliminate all the things that have nothing to do with where God is taking you, if you stop wasting time speaking about all the stuff that has nothing to do with where God is taking you, if you stop complaining and griping about stuff that has nothing to do with where God is taking you, you're going to have a lot of free time on your hands, I'll bet. I bet you'll have a lot more free time, and I'll bet you have a lot more energy. You'll have the energy now to put into, and there's something about when we're working with God. When you're working and talking about all this other stuff, it can be very exhausting. You can get very tired. It can wear you out. It wears you down, and you feel very tired. But if you start talking about where God is taking you, if you start talking about what God has planned for you, that God has planned an incredible life for me, I have an amazing life. Guess where I'm going? Guess where I'm going to be next year? Guess where I'm going to be in 10 years? Guess where I'm going to be in 20 years? Guess what God has planned for me? As soon as you start talking about that, isn't there something that kind of gets light in your heart? Isn't there something that kind of gets a little excited? You start to feel this energy. You start to feel motion because you're walking with God. You start to feel like it's exciting. It's fun. This is good stuff. I like this. I want to go there. See, if it's draining you, you're probably not talking or thinking or acting on the right things. But when you start to talk with God, he begins to fuel you. He begins to fuel you with his spirit to get where he wants you to go. He begins to provide ways for you to have more energy, more excitement, more time to do the things to get where he wants you to go. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Somebody else say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, so speaking is important. Now, tithing also. Do you understand that when you're tithing into the kingdom of God, that you're doing the same thing? You're putting all of the increase that comes into your life, you are putting it into the same thing. You are investing in where you're going with God when you're tithing. Do you understand that? That when you tithe, you are investing into the kingdom of God and where He's taking you. And that investment will not return to you void. It will not come back empty. God will find a way to increase in your life, to bring greater abundance, greater blessing, greater riches and reward. Now, if you're not in action of tithing with God, and you're letting your finances and your increase go somewhere else, Ted, no, I couldn't tithe. I got my beer money. This is for my beer. And if I give that tithe, I'm not going to have this. Well, if you're doing that, if you're letting it go into any other place that has something or anything to do, not to do with where you're going, then you're letting your resources go in a different place. That beer money will never come back. It will not see increase. Oh, it might see a little bit of increase. You might have a beer belly increase. So maybe there is some increase, but that might not be the kind of change you want or the kind of increase you want. So we've got to make a decision also in acting when we have increase in our lives. Where am I going to put that increase? Am I going to tithe into the vision of God? Am I going to say, yes, God, everything I'm doing is going towards that vision and that dream. You showed me I could be great. You showed me you wanted me to be happy and joyous. You showed me you wanted me to have a great relationship. You showed me that I can do amazing things and I have incredible talents. And I want to do it.
Amen.
I want to do it. And as a result of that, I'm going to even put any financial increase, I'm going to put it towards that too. I'm not going to throw it around other places. I'm going to put it there because I know you're not going to let it return to me void. It's going to increase because that's your law, that when we sow into the kingdom of God, increase comes. Now, let me use an analogy here. We're going to go into a little analogy because some of you aren't getting this. I can tell you're sitting there and you're wondering, what are you talking about? I'm going to change my life. I don't know what he's talking about. You know what? As we agreed already that if you're complaining about where your life is, you don't like it. You want something different. Right? You want something different. All right, let's think about it. If it was like escaping from prison. You ever seen some good movies about escaping from prison? You know, I know I like the one Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood. Did you see that? He had a big plan. Man, there were several guys involved in this escape. It wasn't just a one-man job, but you know, nobody had ever escaped from Alcatraz before, but here he was going to do it. Not Clint Eastwood, but his character. You know, he's just an actor, people. And then, of course, there was that Shawshank Redemption was a good escape from prison one, wasn't it? I liked that. That was fun. Little Andy there digging away with his little pickaxe, shovel thingy, you know, whatever it was, you know, trying to dig his way out. That was a great escape from prison one. And of course, it was the Great Escape, I think. Was that the one with Steve McQueen, I think? You know, anyway, that was like an army military one I'm thinking of, that they were escaping from this military prison. So if you've seen any of these movies or something like this, you kind of have an idea of what it's like to escape from prison, right? You're kind of getting a little picture of that if I was in prison. Now, the first step, as we talked about, you have to have a desire to escape from prison. If you're laying there and you're thinking, oh man, this is sweet, 3 meals a day, I get to lay in bed, watch TV, I don't have to do anything, then probably you're not the candidate who wants to escape from prison. You know, you're enjoying it too much. But if you have a desire, if you say, this stinks, I don't want my life to be like this. I don't want to be caught and tied up in this anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get out. The problems in your life and the things you don't like about your life are a lot like that prison cell that you don't want to be in. Because they're enchaining you and they're stopping you from becoming who you were created to be. God created you to be more. If you're complaining about something in your life or you don't like something in your life, that's not something God wanted in your life to start with. But it's somewhere you ended up imprisoned in. It's somewhere you ended up chained up in or locked in but God wants you to get out. Remember, Jesus came and walked on the earth to bring you liberty, to set you free, to put you on the path of righteousness, meaning you're not in prison anymore, you're a free man. So let's take a look at what we would have to do if we wanted to escape from prison, because this is going to perfectly translate over to your life, and I think you're going to see why you need to apply these steps in being released or escaping from this prison. So, to escape from prison, we have to acquire what we will need. We have to acquire what we will need. So, you already know where you're going. Now you need to start, because I want to get out of prison. I want to get to the outside. You're going to have to acquire what you need. Now, remember in the movie, the Escape from Alcatraz movie with Clint Eastwood? He had to acquire a lot of stuff to make this escape. He didn't just walk through a door or get in the back of a van and drive away. I mean, he was busy. They were doing like paper mache fake heads to put in the beds when they weren't there, when they were digging. They had to create some sort of little knife or some sort of chisel in order to dig through the back wall. So they needed all kinds of metal. They had to find a way to weld it. So they're developing tools, techniques, and skills that they need in order to make this escape possible. They got rain jackets, and they found this super glue and began to create life jackets because they were going to have to float across that San Francisco Bay where the currents were so crazy. So he had to acquire all these things he needed to make the escape. Now, let's translate that over to you. You're escaping from your prison to change your life. That means there are certain skills you're going to need, certain traits, certain skills and gifts you need to apply, and you'll start to need to acquire the things that you need. All right? So start making a list. What am I going to need to make this escape from my prison? Start making a list. What do I need to make the escape? I already know where I'm going. I see. I want to get out of here. God showed me a vision. I know where I want to go. Remember little Andy from Shawshank Redemption? Where was he going to go? Zewapaneo or something? Is that it? Zewapaneo? Yeah. So he knew where he was going. It was a paradise. It was a beautiful place on the ocean. You know, the sand was so white. God, the weather was so warm. He already was envisioning it and seeing it. He was still in prison, but he was already seeing where he needed to go. But he was now collecting the supplies of what he needed. Andy didn't need as much as Clint Eastwood needed in his movie. Andy only needed a poster and a little shovel, a little hammer, you know, a little pick hammer kind of thing to dig out of there. You know, but my point is we got to start to acquire the things we need. So start to make a list. I hope you guys are writing this down. Start to make a list. What am I going to need? What do I need to acquire? And that means in terms of tools and skills and abilities, you've got to be training and getting yourself ready. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not even close to getting out of this prison yet. Start preparing now. They had to prepare ahead of time. So start to acquire what you need. Now, they had to formulate a strategy. Remember in that Clint Eastwood movie? They had one guy watching with a little mirror for the guards to come, if the guards were coming. The other guys are busy digging and chiseling away at the back of their cells. So they're making noise back there. But somebody is keeping an eye out for the guards. They've got a strategy in place to make the plan work. What's the strategy you're going to need to make your plan work to escape from your prison? What's the strategy? You know, you can't just walk out there in the great escape. They didn't just walk out and throw a pile of dirt on the ground because that would have given it away that they were digging a tunnel. You know, they had to have a strategy. So they had pants with holes in them and they kind of walk around and spread the dirt around as they were walking, you know, very subtly. Right? So what's your strategy? What's the strategy you need to change your life, to escape from your prison? Whatever's holding you, whatever you don't like, that's your prison. What's the strategy you need to apply to get out of there? Take a look at that. Here's something. Hebrews 10:35. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. I'm bringing that up because something you're going to need is that confidence. Don't throw it away. That means when he shows you where you're going, don't lose heart. Don't feel like, I can't do this. I can't escape from this prison. I can't get out of this. There will be times where you feel like that. There will be times where it's going to get hard. But Paul is talking about keep your confidence in what God has promised. Because if you keep that confidence, if you stick with that, don't cast it away, you're going to be able to escape from that prison. You're going to be able to do it because God is faithful and what God has said he will do. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so formulate a strategy. One of the parts of that strategy is confidence. Get the confidence you need because we need the faith and the confidence in God that he has created a good plan so that we can now acquire the skills. Don't let somebody tell you you can't do it. Nobody escaped from Alcatraz before, so I'm sure people are saying, oh, you can't do that. Nobody's ever going to do it. You can do it. Because God already provided the way for you to escape from this life that you don't want into something you do want. You can see the beach already, like Andy was watching the beach. You can see the sunshine and know, I'm going to get there. I'm going to do it. What else do we need to do? This is all action, action, action. I hope you guys are not thinking of sitting on the sofa over the next week. I need you to be up and moving. I need you to get the lead out of your shorts and get moving.
Amen.
All right, what's next? Create alliances. A lot of times, none of these guys escape from prison on their own. None of them escape from prison. Well, Andy went out alone, but he did not do it alone. Right? In the Shawshank Redemption movie. And he didn't do it alone. He had a friend on the inside who could get him stuff. So he made alliances so he could get his little hammer. He made alliances so he could have a new poster of whatever the pinup model was that he was putting over the hole he was digging in the wall. Right? So he had alliances. He didn't do it himself. You're not going to escape from this prison on your own. You've got to make alliances. You got to make friends. You got to find people who have gifts, abilities, and skills that you can help have help you so that you can do this thing. Don't try to do it on your own. Look for the guy who's got what you need and begin to talk to him. Become his friend. Find out, hey, can I use that ability? Because that's incredible. I don't have that. And remember, let's take a look at this. You know, when we're sharing these alliances, you know, it wasn't just all take. He was giving something back too. So remember, they're there. Those people are in your life to help you, but you are in their life to help them. You've got skills, ability, and gifts that they don't have. Remember Andy in the Shawshank Redemption? He opened this little library. He started teaching the other prisoners so they could get their high school diploma. Remember that? So he's giving back. He taught them to read. He was giving something back in return. He was creating alliances. Now, in your life, you can create alliances. Who are the people you need to create alliances with? Well, we'll know that by knowing, where's God taking me? What is the plan that God has shown me? Okay, that's where I'm going. That's now you start to see, who do I need to create alliances with? And what can I do for them? How can I help them? Remember, God is talking about loving your neighbor. We're loving God. We want to have a great life. He's already set it up for us. But we have to put into action, love your neighbor, meaning help them out. Use your skills and abilities. But then also, they can use their skills and abilities to help you. Oh, brother, where art thou? Was another great escape from prison movie. Remember, they were chained together? He couldn't do it alone. He couldn't get out alone. He had to convince them. He had to create alliances with the other two guys that were chained to him in order to get away. because they were all chained together. And then once he did that, they could make their escape. You got to make alliances. Start thinking about, who do I need to bring into a partnership with me? Who has God already put there for me? Is another way to think about it. God's already surrounded you with people that you need in order to change your life.
Amen.
Those people are already around you, and they just need an invitation to say, can you help me? Can you use that gift or that skill or that ability or that pickup truck, you know, that you have? You just need an invitation. Can't do it alone. Nobody escaped from these prisons alone, and you don't change your life on your own. That's why God put us in a community together, because we're here to assist one another wherever we can. And God's put other people around you too, at your work, out there on the street, on the bus. People are around you, and you're around them to do something to help them too. So don't forget, I've got to give something back. Not that you've got to, you should want to, because it's fun. It's fun when you can use something you know or something you have or some ability you have. When you can help somebody else out, it feels good. And that's the way God wants it. So create alliances. Got to coordinate those efforts. Now, and you need to also, you know, timing is everything. In taking action with God, we got to know that timing is everything. There's a plan where we're building our skills, we're acquiring what we need, we're making alliances, right? So you're acquiring what you need, developing your skills, making alliances. And then the time will come when you have an opportunity to grasp or seize or have what God has provided you with, so you can step into the promise. It's there. The opportunity is not there all the time, every day, but it appears at the right moment when you have developed the skills, acquired what you need, created the alliances, and then at that moment, bang, you can step into it. Now, the people that were brought out of Israel, the Israelites, also known as, they came out of Israel and they were heading towards the promised land. And God said, I've opened it for you. Take it. Walk in. It's yours. A land filled with milk and honey. It's yours for the taking. What's that called? Opportunity.
Amen.
And what did they say? Those are giants in the land. They're going to treat us like grasshoppers. No way. We're not going to do it. Right? Some of them said that. They said, we don't want to. No, we don't want to take this. In other words, they're saying, no, I don't want to have this opportunity. So they didn't grasp it. They didn't seize it. Everything was aligned for them. God had worked to deliver them out of Egypt. God had delivered them right up to the border of the promised land. God said, go in, check it out. They checked it out. They said, man, it's good stuff. But there's giants. And so what happened? Because they didn't seize that opportunity, they wandered in the wilderness. That generation never entered the promised land. We got to be ready. You got to be ready. When you're working and walking with God and he's leading you to where he showed you, be ready to seize and grab on that opportunity.
Amen.
Now, we got to be patient, because in the meantime, sometimes we're waiting, we're traveling, we're developing. Now we're creating alliances. We're acquiring what we need. We're developing skills in that meantime. So it's not that we're not doing anything. There's still action, a lot of action. But be ready. So if we know that timing is everything, that also means you need to be ready. You need to be listening. And you need to be watching for when God says, now is the time. Seize it. Take it.
Amen.
It's ready when he says that. So you just keep developing your skills, acquiring what you need, keep making the alliances. And you're moving, when you're doing that, you're moving towards where God is showing you. So that now, when the time is right, when the time, and everything has its season, right? There is a seed time and a harvest. Everything has its time. God has his time for you. But we have to start acting. We have to act now. We have to act right now to develop the skills. We have to act right now to make the alliances. We have to act right now to acquire what is needed for us to escape from this prison. To escape from this prison of the life that we don't want, we've got to be doing those things and acting on them right now.
Amen.
We're not waiting. All of these movies that talk about escaping from prison didn't have somebody just laying in a cell watching TV, relaxing, getting 3 squares a day. They had somebody that was busy, that was planning, that was strategizing, that was creating alliances, that were getting what they needed, that were developing the skills they had to have when they got there so that they could get to Zewapaneo. Right? Same thing for us. God has shown us the promised land. God has shown us what your life can be. God is showing you how good your life can be. God is showing you how great he has made you, how important you are, how there's nobody else like you. He has shown you that you've got skills and abilities, and he has planned a life for you. Yes, he has planned a life for you.
Amen.
He has planned a life for you that's amazing, that is filled with joy and happiness, great relationships, that's filled with financial abundance, that's peaceful, where you have peace in your life, and that life is waiting right there on the other side of the bars. And all we need to do is follow God's escape plan. Follow God's escape plan. And it starts off by inviting Jesus into our hearts, because then we're filled with the Spirit. It starts off by seeing, having the desire and knowing, I want my life to be different. It starts off by seeing where God is taking us. And then it requires action.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is all about action.
Amen.
Movement. Movement. I hope you wrote down these things that I asked you to do. Because if you do them, if you start to do them with where God is taking you in mind, you will get there.
Amen.
You will escape from this prison. There is nothing that can hold you. I proclaim today that chains are breaking, walls are crumbling, and nothing can hold you down. God has already opened the way and prepared a paradise for you on this earth. God has already given you the authority and the power and the blessing to go forth and do it, to live a life more abundant. It's already there for you. And just say, I receive it.
I receive.
I have it.
I have it.
I take it.
I take it.
I seize it.
I seize it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.